Well, we're going to continue our discussion of people smart techniques. And today we're going to really get going in the phone emotion, things that when you're talking to someone on the phone. And this is one of the areas where pastors, leaders, church leaders, business leaders, employees, really poor phone skills really hurt you. You want to have good phone skills. And, you know, Lyle puts it this way, Lyle Lowndes in his book, How to Talk to Anyone. He says, think of yourself as the star of a personal radio drama every time you pick up the phone. If you want to come across as engaging as you are, you must turn your smiles into sound, your nods into noises. You just don't shake head into noises. And your gestures into something your listeners can hear. You must replace your gestures with talk, then punch up the whole act 30%. So when you're talking on the phone, you know, don't just be laid back. You really have to talk with more emotion. Use their name on the phone. People perk up when they hear their own name. Use it more often on the phone than you would in person to keep their attention. Your caller's name recreates the eye contact, the caress that you might give a person in, to someone in person. Saying someone's name repeatedly when face-to-face sounds pandering. But because there is physical distance between you and the phone, sometimes you're even in a continent apart, you could spray your conversation with it. You know, this also applies in you doing Skype. Just use someone's name more often when you're on the phone. Also have a, oh wow, it's you attitude when you're on the phone. Don't answer the phone with, you know, I'm just so happy all the time. Don't answer the phone with an I'm just so happy all the time attitude. Answer warmly, crisply, and professionally. Then after you hear who's calling, let a huge smile of happiness engulf your entire face and spill over into your voice. You make your caller feel as though your giant, warm, fuzzy smile is reserved for him or her. So you don't like, hi, right away, but hello, this is Henry Ranga, can I help you? And you talk, but then it's just a little bit. Just turn that emotion up when you're talking on the phone. Salute the spouse. Whenever you're calling someone's home, always identify and greet the person who answers. Whenever you call someone's office more than once or twice, make friends with the secretary. Anyone who is close enough to answer the phone is close enough to sway the VIP's opinion of you. Now, this is how Lyle talks about it. Again, he's talking about it in success principles. But I would talk about it in love. Why wouldn't you talk to the secretary? Do they matter? They do. The assistant, everybody matters in this world, and we treat them all with great respect. Are you available? Whenever you place a call, always, not occasionally, not frequently, always ask about your timing. Make it a habit. Make it a rule. Make it a self-punishable crime if the first words out of your mouth don't concern the convenience of your timing. Hi, Joe. Is this a good time to call? Hello, Susan. Hey, do you have a minute? Hi, Carol. Did I catch you at a good time or is this a bad time? Sam, do you have a second to talk with you? Do you have a second for me to tell you, et cetera? Are you available? Don't just launch into a conversation. Constantly changing outgoing messages. And I would call, if you're in the corporate environment and in talking to you is very important, this becomes really important. If you want to be perceived as a conscientious, reliable, leave a short, professional, friendly greeting on your outgoing message. No music, no jokes, no inspirational messages, no boasts, bells or whistles. Here's the secret. Change it every day. Your message doesn't have to be a flawless, a little cough or stammer. Gives a lovely, unpretentious reality to your message. In other words, in a message machine, especially if this is important to who you are called to be, think maybe about that little detail. What about when you're leaving a message? You know, someone, you call someone and they said, this is Ron, let's leave a message. To make sure listeners won't switch stations during the radio commercial, the broadcasters throw out a mini mystery. And right after the commercial, we'll be back with the winning ticket. It could be yours. Stay tuned. Whenever you leave a voicemail message for anyone, try to include a little cliffhanger. Hey, Harry, this is Andrew. I have an answer to that question you asked me about last week. Hi, Diane, this is Betsy. I have some big news about that project we're discussing. Now, Harry and Diane have a reason to call Andrew and Betsy back. So what's that reason, what motivates someone to call you back? Phone sensitivity. When you hear a phone in the background, stop speaking in mid-sentence if necessary and say, hey, I hear your other line, or your dog is barking, your baby crying, your spouse calling you. Is that happening? Are you okay? Ask whether she has to attend to it or whether or not, and whether she does or not, she'll know that you're a top communicator for asking. In other words, it's that loving you. When you talk to someone on the phone, really, you're interrupting their life. And to interrupt their life is a great privilege they are allowing you by you talking to them. Relationship follow-up. The good intention seldom happens without Herculean effort. Okay, so let's say you're at a meeting, you're at church, you're meeting somebody for the first time. You want to follow up. Politicians, however, make a science out of keeping up the contact. After the party, they sit at their desks and, like a game of solitaire, lay out the business cards of the people they've met. Using the business card dossier technique described later in the section, they decide when, how to deal with each. Does this person require a phone call? Should that one receive a handwritten note? Shall I email or call the other one? Use the 60-point party checklist and the who, when, why, where, what, how of a party as soon as the as your general game plan. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole thing, but I am going to say this about this because he describes a lot more about it. I am going to say this about it. When you're meeting in large groups and someone gives their card, there is an expectation. And it goes like this. You can follow up with me. I would love to learn more about what God is doing in your life, what your business is about, etc. Munching or mingling. So we can learn from the politicians here. This is just good people, smart skills. Politicians want to be eyeball to eyeball and belly to belly with their constituents. Like every big winner well-versed in the science of proximics, in spatial relationships, they know any object except their belt buckle has the effect of a brick wall between two people. Therefore, they never hold food or drink at a party. Come to munch or come to mingle. Do not expect to do both. Like a good politician, chow down before you come. You know, and I would say that as a pastor or a leader. When you're going to a party and your goal is to meet people and to be people smart in extending your influence, or you're a business person, or you're a salesperson, and you're trying to sell as well as do bivocational ministry, understand that when you're at these type of mingles, it's not about feeding your face. It's about actually talking to people, listening to people, being in a room and taking that very seriously. Do not profile connections. When given this unfamiliar, uncomfortable assignment, the participants assume everyone will make a beeline for the most attractive people. It never happens. Something mystical occurs when people take time to really look at each other. Everyone discovers a distinctive beauty in one or two of the people that is very personal, very special, and speaks uniquely to the seeker. Now, here's something about this. I have learned over the years, do not say, I'm going to meet that person or not that person, or that person looks good, I'll talk to that person. Talk to whoever the Lord leads you to. Do not profile anyone. I remember once I was working for a large nonprofit, and someone came in, they looked like a homeless person. In fact, the secretaries called me because they know that I like people. So I went over and talked to this man, and he did look like a homeless person. But he was not, and he ended up giving thousands upon thousands of dollars to get Bibles spread all throughout the world. And he made it a point. He said, you came up and you welcomed me. This is a great organization because you welcomed me. That connection brought Bibles everywhere. That man, when he died, actually asked me to do his funeral because I treated him so kindly. Let's not profile who God calls us to meet. Be the chooser, not the choosee. The lifelong friend, the love of your life, the business contact who will transform your future may not be at the party. However, someday, somewhere, he or she will be. Make every party a rehearsal for the big event. Do not stand around waiting for the moment when the special person approaches you. You make it happen by exploring every face in the room. No more ships passing in the night. Capture whatever and whomever you want in your life. And I'll translate it into the Christian terms. Every place you are called to go, God may have a divine appointment, and be the person who says, yes, Lord. Come hither, hands. When you're in a larger gathering, be a human magnet, not a human repellent. When standing in a gathering, arrange your body in an open position, especially your arms and hands. People instinctively gravitate toward open palms and wrists. They want to come to that hitherto position. They will shy away from knuckles and the get lost, I'll punch you position. Use your wrists and palms to say, I have nothing to hide. The business card dossier. Right after you've talked to someone at a party, take out your pen. On the back of his or her business card, write down notes to remind you of the conversation. His favorite restaurant, sports, movie, whom she admires, where she grew up, a high school honor, or maybe a joke he told. In your next communication, toss off a reference to the favorite restaurant, sports, movie, drink, hometown, high school honor, or reprieve the laugh over that great joke. So that's how you do it. You just want to stay connected and follow up, and all the tools of that follow up are given to you. See no bloopers. Hear no bloopers. Cool communicators allow their friends, associates, acquaintance, and loved ones the pleasurable myth of being above commonplace bloopers and embarrassing biological functions. They simply don't notice their comrades' minor spills, slips, fumbles, and faw paws. They obviously ignore the raspberry and all the signs of human frailty in their fellow mortals. Big winners never gap at others' gaffes. So that's how it is. Do not call attention. That's like giving somebody a hard time. Enjoy everybody, and we're all human. It's human to be human, and let's enjoy each other's humanity. Gatherings are for pattering. There are three sacred safe havens in the human jungle where even the toughest tigers know they must not attack. The first of these is parties. Parties are for pleasantries and good fellowship, not confrontations. Big players, even when standing next to their enemies at a buffet table, smile and nod. They leave the tough talk for tougher settings. You know, you see that in the Bible too, when there would be a feast. And, you know, this is not the time for, you know, confrontation. So if you're gathering and there's something uncomfortable, and a pastor, there might be something very uncomfortable. Maybe somebody is having an affair on their spouse, and you as a pastor are going to eventually confront them. Don't do it at the party. Don't embarrass them there. Talk to them, but make up a time that you're going to actually talk to that person. Diners for dining. The most guarded safe haven respected by big winners is the dining table. Breaking bread together is a time when they bring up no unpleasant matters. While eating, they know it's okay to brainstorm, discuss positive sides of business, their dream, their desires, their design. They can free associate and come up with new ideas, but no tough business. And this is something that pastors should be very aware of, and church leaders, that when you're eating with someone, just come up with those pleasant conversations. There will be time for other things later. Chance encounters are for chit-chats. If you're selling, negotiating, any sensitive communication with someone, and that includes what we pastors and church leaders do not capitalize on a chance meeting. Keep the melody of your mistaken meeting sweat sweet, meeting sweet and light. Otherwise, it could turn into your swan song with Big Winner. Now, this is just in general, not just for big winners. This is for everybody. Chance meetings are just positive, and they're setting something else up. Actually, set up a meeting if you want to take something to the next level. Lead for listeners. No matter how prominent the big cat behind the podium is, crouched inside is this little scaredy cat who is anxious about the crowd's acceptance. Big winners recognize you're a fellow big winner when they see you leading their listeners in a positive reaction. Be the first to applaud or publicly commend, the man or woman you agree with. So what you're really saying here is if you're around winners, be a winner. So when you're in church and the senior pastor, let's say, is preaching, as someone who is at that church, get your body language in it. Listen. Don't have an attitude. This is just general great practice and loving practice of relational skills wherever you go. You know, we've talked about so many things in these last three presentations, and I would invite you to go over them again. Write them down. Think about yourself. Where am I? Understand that these techniques could be used in manipulative ways, and we do not want to do that. But we want to be those who understand how to get out of the way of ourselves, learn how to be perceived as loving, not just we think we're loving. Be those who say, no, it's your problem to get to know me. No, we don't want that. No, it's our problem to get to know you. It's our problem to help you advance to where God has called you. And these people smart techniques can really help. You know, I pray that each of you will be able to love people more that God has brought into your life.